It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 18th of June 2016. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. The show's brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua. On Saturday, the 18th of June, Brent Simpson played the performances by the Kapa Haka groups of Waiheke's three schools, which were recorded at Piritahi Marae on June the 5th. And he talked to David Arnold of Waiheke United Football Club. Now, this morning down at the library, we had a ceremony to mark the beginning of Matariki on Waiheke and all across a lot of the different tribes and iwis from Tamaki Makaurau have been gathering at their respective places and for the celebration. And this morning there was celebration down at the library, which had I think Mr. Len Brown was there, as well as other island representatives. And yeah, so that's the beginning of Matariki, which celebrated, which is the coming of the Seven Sisters, or the Pleiades star sign. It marks the beginning of the Maori New Year. And so I thought, in light of that, I might, I'm going to play a recording that I made a couple of, on June 5th, which I'm guessing now is 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I made this recording down at the tūwhera, the opening of the fully dressed whanganui at Kia Piritahi Marae, which was a spectacular day of events and kōrero, and just an incredible day of eating and celebration of that momentous occasion down at the Kia Piritahi Marae. And on the day there was some... The schools all provided the nahau, the entertainment, and I recorded Waiheke Primary, Te Huruhi School's Ngā Purapura, and Waiheke High School's Piranakau Performing Arts Group, as they provided some entertainment after everyone had eaten a lovely hangi, a massive hangi actually, an incredible feat that they pulled off down there at the marae a couple of weeks ago. So I thought I'd play you... a bit of this recording, and this, I think the bit I've got is the Te Huruhi School Ngā Purapura doing a couple of songs, waiata, and then I think we might actually get into a track or two by, or a song or two by the Piranakau Performing Arts Group, which is from Waiheke High School. So here you have it. This is some recordings made from June 5th, the opening of the Piritahi Whare Nui.
Kia ora mai koutou. A tēnā koutou, nā purupu rakuranga. Ngā moa koutou mahi āringa, nā mahi o tātuna tēnkunga. Te pai te kite, te pai te rongoi. Mureira, kā nui tamihi. E piki mai ake nei e te whānau, ko te kura tuarua o Waiheke. Koe nei nā tuakana, mahi tahi ai rātai me te kura tuatahi me nā purapu rākoranga, ko te kuina o rātau i pita mai. Mai tēnei kura, ako e tahi anō ki pita mai te kura tuatahi o Waiheke. Anā, anei rā, piri nā kau, e tuake nei, ki te waha ngāhau, e te waha kua kua ia tātai. A tēnā tātai.
Recordings from the opening of the Fully Dressed Marae. Listening to some recordings from the Piritahi Marae from a couple of weeks ago. This is the Waiheke High School Piranakau Performing Arts Group.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was some recordings from the Tūwhera, the opening of the Kia Piritahi Fully Dressed Whare Nui from June the 5th. We listened to a couple of performances by the Te Huruhi School Ngā Purapura group, and also about the last three or four tracks there were from the Waiheke High School's Piranaka Performing Arts group, and that was recorded by Waiheke Radio a couple of weeks ago. If you want to listen to, I might play some more of that later on after my guest comes in as well, finish it off. There's a kind of a rousing haka at the end of it. If you want to listen to that full recording and some other recordings from that momentous day down at the Marae, you can check out on our Facebook page. It's got the last couple of those. That's facebook.com/waihikiradio, or you can check out our website at www.waihikiradio.org.nz for those podcasts and others like it.
Waiheke Radio.
I've got Mr. David Arnold in the studio, and David is the new president of the Waiheke United Football Club. And I must confess that I have a son that's been playing in the club now for 5 or 6 years. Started off at First Kicks, which is for the little guys, every Saturday, and has now progressed through the ranks and is playing on a team called the Mangosta. And and my partner Michelle is also the ticketing, I don't know what you'd call it, the ticketing guru or something for the club. So Mr. Arnold, I've got David in here to talk. He's the new president of the football club, and we're going to have a chat about just about the club and where we see the thing or where he sees it going. And David, welcome to Waiheke Radio.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Brent. Thanks for having me on.
Yep. So David, you've just become the new president. Well, very recently, I suppose, in the last couple of months, sort of thing?
Yes, Brent, about a month ago, actually.
Hold on, I'm not sure where. Make sure you're talking right into that thing, David. Point it at you. Give us another go, we'll see.
Okay.
I can't quite hear you, actually. Let's try that one instead. Sorry about that. A little bit of a confusion here. Oops. Ah, there we go. That one sounds better.
That better, Brent?
Yes, you can hear yourself now.
Yeah,
can't you?
I can hear myself.
All right.
Story of my life.
Yeah. So welcome, David. And like I said, David's the new president of the club. And how you've just recently been made president, David, or how did you get into this role?
Well, I've had a background in amateur football clubs in Auckland, in and around Auckland, for most of the last 40 years. My wife Chris and I have been involved with Waiheke, the island, for the last 30, and have lived here permanently for the last 2.5 years. And it was an opportunity to get back in with a club in the sport that the beautiful game, which I love very much.
Yep. And so before, and you had been involved in some other clubs in Auckland. What other clubs were you?
I was involved for many years as a player and administrator with what was then Point Chevalier.
Yeah.
I was also involved in the amalgamation of Point Chev into the new club, which is now known as Western Springs, which many will know is one of the biggest clubs, actually now in New Zealand, biggest football clubs.
Yeah, the dreaded Western Springs.
And more recently, I was part of a team that put together a club called the Evergreens Club, which is a welfare arm of Western Springs, which basically is where ex-players get together and tell lies and raise money. And that money is available as a grant mainly to kids whose parents perhaps have fallen on hard times, or to teams who want to travel somewhere and they want a bit of a boost in their travel fund.
Right.
So it was a natural extension when we came to Waiheke to look around, and here I am.
Get back involved,
absolutely.
The Waiheke United Football Club, you know, from my perspective, as you know, being a parent of a player and you know, attending the prize givings and things, it seems to be a club that is constantly growing from year to year. I think it's possibly one of the largest sporting clubs on the island at the moment. And so how do you see this sort of progressing? I mean, how far, what kind of things should the club be looking to do, and what kind of involvement in the community do you sort of anticipate? What might you bring to this role now?
Well, you're right, Brent. The club is now the largest sporting club on the island.
How many people do you think might...
I think we directly involve something like 250, 300 people.
Yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't sound a lot, but in the context of our competition, because a sporting club is in competition with everything else.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, so for people's time, and there isn't a lot of time these days. My own view is that, if you like, the three pillars of the club should be the club, the culture of the club, and the community, the three C's. And that, just like any business, every decision that is made by the club should relate back, and we should be asking ourselves, does that decision benefit the club, benefit the culture, and benefit the community in which we're based? As far as children playing are concerned, I believe we need to show them pathways to fun.
Yep.
For those kids who really just want to kick around with their mates, but also pathways to progression for some of the younger guys and girls who really see themselves perhaps taking this further, even to the point of being semi-professional or professional. And those are really important. And what I would like to see is us be able to offer those pathways on the island so that as these kids got older, they didn't necessarily have to go to the Western Springs of this world to take it further.
Speaking of, I just want to reflect a little bit on something that you talked about, the culture of the club, and it's a great word actually at the moment, because if any of you have been out to watch the top men's team play on a Saturday down at the Onatangi Sports Park, or you've checked out our Facebook page, even when that group travels, you will see a prevalence of culture going. They have created quite an atmosphere for themselves. They've sort of almost integrated a sort of an Argentinian vibe with a New Zealand thing going on, and it's they're kind of getting a bit of a name for culture, aren't they, that group of players?
Well, that has to be part of our culture. I think we have to meld the best of the exciting culture with our own. And yes, you're right, we have a travelling band of supporters who are very passionate and very much involved. And it's good. It's a little sometimes like herding cats.
Yeah, sure.
But there again, no. Look, I see that as being part of the way for the future. And the other thing I see too, and I know that the senior coach, Dennis, feels the same, and that is that there should be a leadership group within the senior team that is charged with a mentorship role for these the older young kids, like the 16th grade Stags, high guys out there.
Yeah, yeah.
The 16th grade Stags, to actually gently develop them and bring them through into the senior club system.
Yeah. I was down there last weekend, and after the game I spoke to the referee a little bit, and he said he had his phone out and was trying to take photos of the Bunda up on the hill there, and he said, yes, there's nothing like this in all of Auckland. He said it's the most passionate group of supporters that he's seen. He actually thinks they make more noise than they do at a Phoenix game. If you want to come down for an interesting afternoon, full-on football experience, really, come down and see the Stag. Not the Stags. What's the name of that?
The Boom.
The
Fullers Boom.
Play. You won't be disappointed. Great afternoon's worth of entertainment. And one thing that I quite liked when they actually got some of the younger kids who had come involved in that celebration, and you could sort of really feel, some of the younger guys being proud of playing football for this club. And so I think they've done a great little job of sort of upping that kind of respect for the club, something that we can draw on. Now, we've also got exciting sort of for the club. One thing that had been lacking in the past was sort of a club room, as we'd managed to get an old tractor shed sort of for a while, and now we've that part of it's been had an addition to it. So that's obviously a good step for us?
Yes, Brent. It's, in my experience, it's a pivotal step. Once clubs have the ability to meet after the game, and have a focal point,
yeah.
I think they tend to grow. And yeah, we're very fortunate. We've just taken over our new club room. We have put together a working group at the moment to see and to decide the best way to utilize that, what facilities we should offer,
yep.
and how we should do it. And that has been conveyed to the membership. And over the next couple of months, we'll gradually work our way through that and come up with a workable plan as to how we proceed with it. But no, it's a very exciting time.
Yeah, it's great to have somewhere to shelter as well, and that for opposing teams, you know, parents, because I'm not sure if people who may not be involved in the club sort of realize. Actually, I think I was talking to Michelle this morning about, you know, on an average weekend we've got we could have over 150 people coming to the island, which includes parents, players, coaches, managers, and things like that. And one of the I suppose one of the pillars of this club has been the sponsorship by Fuller's, which I'm imagining they're quite happy to continue on and build that relationship with them.
Well, yes, Brent. We're in the first year of a brand new 3-year deal with Fuller's.
Okay.
And as you quite rightly say, there is a lot of people coming to the island every Saturday because of the football. There's a lot of our team going off, a lot of our teams going places. Fuller's and their associated companies help us with that, which is absolutely fabulous. We couldn't do what we do and where we want to go without the support of Fuller's, even to the point of the men's senior team now is met by a bus at the other end in Auckland and taken to away games. And bear in mind, from the senior point of view, if they gain promotion this year from the conference division that they're in, and they're currently lying top, if they gain promotion, they go into the Northern League, which in New Zealand football terms is actually quite a reasonable deal.
So what's the extent of the North? Currently, at the moment, they would play probably as far away as maybe the North Shore. If they were in a Northern League, would they...
Yes, at the moment they've already been to Warkworth.
Yep.
Most of the others are around Auckland. I think in the Northern League second division at the moment is Narrowahia. There'll be a Hamilton team.
Yeah.
If they get up another division, they could go as far as Tauranga.
Yeah.
It's a considerable considerable expense as far as the club's concerned.
Sure.
One that we're looking forward to.
And so at the moment, how does the club sort of deal with these expenses? Is it there's membership fees, and is there any other sponsorship besides Fuller's? I mean, how, if people wanted to, you know?
We have a team of volunteers, and Brent, actually, I wanted to mention on air that we haven't got as many volunteers as we could have. It would be really great to see some people contact us who want to assist. But apart from the valuable Fuller's sponsorship, we spend a lot of time fundraising. Mm-hmm. You'll find individual junior teams fundraise for, you know, specific events. At the moment, for example, the 16th grade Stags are off to the Gold Coast to a tournament.
Nice.
And they're fundraising really seriously. We have a film night coming up on the 8th of July at the cinema, Alice Through the Looking Glass. These are the sort of things that we do. We in keeping with many New Zealand amateur clubs, we might look like a duck on top of the water, calmly gliding along, but you have a look at the legs paddling underneath.
Going
like crazy.
I can imagine. That is a logistical, I suppose, consideration if they do get promoted up to, you know, how to get around and do all these things. But, that's interesting to know. Great to see here that the Stags are, you know, can actually take this game as well and their own club, you know, even over the ditch and participate like that. A lot of people sort of, I think, that I've spoken to over the years of traveling into town, credit us with being a club that kind of punches above its weight. which I often attribute to the close-knit nature of this community and the impact that that has upon some of our players who I know from my own son have been kicking a ball around with pretty much the same kids for nearly on 8 years. And then we often get comments about the sort of the synergies that our teams seem to have with each other, possibly because of our small community. How do you see, and sort of having just a little bit of with your experience and in football, how is the state of football in New Zealand?
I think if you read the newspapers at the top level, it's not very good. I think we're currently rated somewhere below Afghanistan and the Seychelles in international.
But is that a good stick for us?
I don't necessarily think so, because I think one of our problems has been that we haven't had the opportunity to have a lot of opposition. Or a lot of games. You and I were talking off air beforehand, and Brent, I'd say again, it's my view that the football that, for example, the Stags are playing would not have looked out of place in a senior Auckland team 25 or 30 years ago.
Yeah.
There is no doubt that football in New Zealand is taken more seriously by kids than it was. I think there's been the obvious drive by parents and perhaps mothers in particular to get kids into soccer rather than rugby. Or league. And I think that has driven now a whole generation. And if you add to that the fact that my understanding is that YouTube is the best trainer of young football players in the world, look, it is in good heart and in good shape in the junior ranks.
Yep.
I think in the senior ranks, we tend to chop and change our competitions a bit too much.
Right.
But there again, the proof is we have international players playing in Germany, in Switzerland, and for clubs in the UK. Winston Reid in the English Premier League.
Sure,
so we are punching above our weight.
Yeah.
But we need to continue to do so.
Yeah. Because I suppose one of the things that I sometimes get slightly, puzzled about is when I'm talking to young kids, pretty much, what are their aspirations? And often, their aspirations are, I want to play for Arsenal. I want to play, and you get a list of Premier level teams, and I often sort of roll them up a bit, saying, "What about the All Whites? You want to play for the All Whites?" And it doesn't quite seem to be on their agenda, which I think is a slight shame. There's a sort of, I think everyone would say they wanted to play for the All Blacks, if they were going to play rugby, and I would like to see a little bit more of that. Visibility of those teams in New Zealand and how that's an important stepping stone for any kind of career, I suppose, you might have around the sport, in the sport. So anything else, Dave? You mentioned that you might people volunteer is something that we're looking for. So anyway, what's the best way if someone wanted to get involved?
If somebody initially likes to send me an email to president at waihikiunited.org.nz. That would be great. And we'll have a chat. We are talking to a couple of people who've indicated that they're interested. But really, we are a community club.
Yep.
And the more involvement from the community, the better. And at the end of the day, the community will get out of this club what it puts in. And when you look around what the volunteers who are here are doing, they work really hard. Very much so.
Yeah.
But no, we're in good heart. The kids are doing well.
Yeah.
I would like to see us find a way to bridge the gap between the Stags and under-19s and then through into senior football on the island.
Yeah.
And that's something that we will look at the moment.
Yeah.
We're rewriting a 3-year strategic plan, which will confirm where we think we want to go and where we should be going. It's just great.
Great.
enjoying it thoroughly.
Well, good. Thanks, David. You know, I appreciate someone stepping up for the job as well. It's an important club for the island, and you know, really looking forward to some to your leadership in the coming years for the club. And similarly, I think it's headed in a great direction. So, thank you for coming in, and maybe we'll catch up again later in the year to get some updates on what's happening on the club. But Miss David Arnold, President of the Waiheke United Football Club. Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
Okay.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
I'm going to go back to playing some of the... Whoops, not that, actually. Playing some of the... why is that? Oh, it started on me. I'm going to play... a little bit more of the recording that I made at the opening of the Kia Piritahi Whare Nui from June 5th. We'll play a little bit more of that recording, and that was the entertainment which was provided by Waiheke Primary Te Huri School Ngā Purapura Group and the Waiheke High School's Piranakau Māori Performing Arts Group. They performed down at the marae on that day, and Waiheke Radio was there and recorded some of the performances by the kids, and I've played a little bit early on. Now this thing's kind of crapping out on me. Don't do that. Hopefully I can get this back up for us. There we go. And I'll probably leave you with this recording playing out. The first part I played, the last part of it has got some really interesting haka happened at the end, so I'll play that, and then that'll be it for me. Until next week, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Island Life here on Waiheke Radio, sponsored by the Village Butcher in Onaroa. But here's the end of that recording of the from the marae, and we'll catch you next week. Keep listening to Waiheke Radio. Check us out online at Facebook or www.waihikiradio.org.nz to see what's coming up. And we'll catch you next week. Thank you.
Why, to prepare.
Let's give another round of applause to our Tamariki people. These are young leaders for the future of Piritahi Marae in Waiheke Island. And this concludes our performances this afternoon. I'd like to invite you to a kōrero that will happen in the Wharenui. What time? Wait. Okay, kōrero begins at 3 in the Wharenui. If you want to learn about the whakairo, or the carvings and the tukutuku works, or the artworks that are in the whare, that kōrero will begin in the Wharenui. The whare whakairo, kia piritahi. So please join us in there if you've got time. And And I just want to thank our kura, Waiheke Primary School, Ngā Purapura Akaronga, Te Huruhi Kami, and Piri Ngāka, Waiheke High School. O reira, reira tu hika ko te tuituru, piti o ka maua ki a tīna. Oh yeah, hui e. Kia ora mai tātā.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7pm and Thursdays at 12:30pm. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.